The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Jesus said to his disciples, "When the Advocate comes, whom I will send you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, he will testify to me. And you also testify, because you have been with me from the beginning. I have told you this so that you may not fall away. They will expel you from the synagogues. In fact, the hour is coming when everyone who kills you will think he is offering worship to God. They will do this because they have not known either the Father or me. I have told you this so that when their hour comes, you may remember what I told you." The Gospel of the Lord.
There's a lot going on in this little passage. We have it because thematically we're in that period of the church here where we're anticipating the sending of the Spirit. And so we have, "When the Advocate comes, whom I will send you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, he will testify to me." And then I think we probably get lost in what's going on. We testify, and then we're going to be persecuted and, you know, don't fall away and this kind of thing. So, wait, that's a fair summation, Wade. I don't need the laughter this morning. No, just kidding. This is what's going on, you know, we are preparing to receive the Spirit. But the challenge is here, like, to not kind of pluck this out of context and make it sing our song. It's to enter into God's song and sing it with him. And what we see here is, okay, the Advocate, Spirit of truth, testify, and you have been with me from the beginning. I've told you this so you may not fall away. What is the point? It's out of this this particular context, this first century context where the Jewish people are looking for leadership, they're looking for a Messiah, that Jesus is here determined to be in the right. He's determined to be the Messiah. And so this is testimony given to Jesus, is testimony that he is the one whom God has sent. And so he also is then the revelation of the one who sent him. And those who receive Jesus or reject him are receiving or rejecting the one who sent him. In any case, the Israelites are pursuing their case before God. They're prosecuting their case before God. And here we're seeing, you know, what are the lines of judgment? Here it is, the life based totally on Christ Jesus is the one found to be in the right. The movement of the people of God following Jesus is the one that is justified. This is the side that God is going to come down on to say, yes, you are in the right, and the rest not. Yes, so this is a matter of I don't know. There's no neutral space here. Salvation, condemnation, right? The way of life and the way that leads to life. And the way that doesn't, and which one will Jesus' followers find themselves on at the end of the day? At the end of the day, if they do not, as he says here, as they do not fall away, right? They've been given the power. They will have the Spirit, the Advocate, so that they don't fall away. They don't leave Jesus' side. They will be judged in the right. And for us is exactly the same thing. Yeah, is that we have been sent, we have received the Spirit, we are to be emboldened by the Spirit in order to go God's way. And how do we know God's way? We know God's way because Jesus makes it apparent to us. Jesus leads us and guides us and the rest. Yeah, because we are in intimate, personal communion with God through and with and in Christ Jesus. Then we who are, again, empowered by his own breath, we ourselves are following Jesus. We are judged to be in the right. But it's only if we live in that relationship. So we have it again, right? This is, we get the end of the 15th chapter here, going into the 16th chapter. The beginning of the 15th chapter is the vine and the branches. We have to be that intimately connected to Jesus in order to be found in the right. Okay, so for anyone who who likes the theme of justice and judgment and the rest. Okay, fine. But this is the way that it, this is what matters here. Okay, so there are other checklists that follow in the wake of our dedicating ourselves to God and our giving ourselves over to Jesus. There are other checklists, the whole teaching of the church. But it all begins here with our love for and loyalty to Christ Jesus. Every single one of them. Jesus' ascension and ascending of the Spirit makes him intimately present to us, each of us, and us as corporately, makes him intimately present to us no matter where we are, no matter when it is. And so we have, each and every one of us, has access to an unmediated relationship with Jesus. I mean, it's him directly, him and it's me. And of course, we have that relationship corporately because we're the body of Christ. We don't feel like we fit in together probably, but he fits us together and he makes something of it. I don't know what he's making of it. No, he's making of it a great saving force in the world, a great saving force that's animated by his own life of love to restore all of creation, to renew mankind and to restore all of creation. He's doing it. It's his way. But look, it's all Jesus. Jesus has to be at the very center. And so we have to have the relationship with him. We have to pray. And we have to become docile to his Spirit. This is how he rules us. And this is how he makes us agents of his rule, so that we could advance God's purposes in the world. And not the purposes of the other side or the other sides. Right? It's kind of like, I don't know, people, you say in sports, someone, when a quarterback throws the ball through a particular, like a very small opening in order to get the ball to the guy that he's trying to throw it to, he says, well, he threads the needle, right? Well, Jesus is threading the needle. It's a very small opportunity, right? This is the narrow way. And we have access to it only by trusting and following Jesus. And it means, again, that we're to be in intimate, personal relationship with him, and that we're to be docile to the promptings of the Spirit, of his Spirit. We have to follow him. And so it doesn't mean that we all have to become, masters like St. Ignatius Loyola. We have to become masters of the discernment of spirits. You're lucky that we have some people around who actually can do that work. But what do we have to do? We have to come before God and say, and here especially at the altar, God, I dedicate myself to you. And I'm eager to hear your voice today. And I'm eager to heed your call. I will go where you want me to go. And now I know that the way that I go is always the way of trust and love. And it's always the way that best gives praise to God, or that gives best praise to God, and that best, and it is an expression of his love for the world. I'm going to embody his love for the world. So I'm going to pour myself out here in praise of God. I'm going to pour myself out in love to everyone I encounter today. That's what I know God's way is. But I'm ready. I'm eager to hear the call and to go, to obey the promptings of the Spirit, to submit myself whole and entire to God. That's it, right? Jesus is our King. And we know as he breathes his Spirit into us, his Spirit also, it's Christiform. Yeah, it's the form of Jesus. It's cruciform. It's the form of the cross. Yeah, is that our whole life then has to more and more look like Jesus's. Our whole life has to be more and more reflection of the cross, God's love for humanity, and eager to overcome any opposition. Yeah, and any opposition at all, God's love is ready to conquer. That God's love conquers all. And that's it. And we live that. But we only live it well if we trust and follow Jesus. So again, it's ours again. Submit ourselves to him. This is the communal act of worship in large part is that. We are submitting ourselves to Christ the King. He then is giving himself to us. Yeah, he's animating us. He's sustaining us with his own life of love so that we could be about his work in the world.